So we are live now.
Hi.
So while we wait for a few people to filter in, Allie and I are about to do our live podcast, but we just wanted to give a few key points for Sandemonium real quick. If you're joining and you're watching this video later, just know that you can watch any of these videos after they have been posted. You don't have to catch them live. Please take a look at our vendors that are on the Sandemonium website, 7bcon.com. If you guys also have a chance to attend any of the other events, just please make sure that you share and like and comment and interact as much as you can, because it helps us out a whole bunch. So I think that let's go ahead and start with a few introductions while we wait for...
Yep, I'm working on sharing out on our socials real quick so you guys can find us.
Yes, I was telling Allie that was her job, but I'm also probably gonna... I thought I was really sneaky and then I rewatched the live stream, and you can see every time I look down at my phone, so I'm not as sneaky as I thought, which is fine, but... Yes. Oh, we've already have people who are coming
Yay!
In. Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and share this real quick to my main page, just because I want people to come, and then...
I know, I'm doing the same thing. Sorry, guys, for not introducing myself or saying hi yet, but I just...
Oh, yes.
I'm trying not to fail her right now, making sure I share this out in all the places.
This is our first live panel, so I feel like we're going to be working out bugs. Sorry for you guys all being the test group,
yeah.
But... So tape phone to face, no longer need to look down. Correct, Seneca. But now I'm putting the phone away because I promised that I wouldn't look at the comments. So, anyway, welcome everybody to Trading Pages Live. In case you do not know me, I am Bronwyn. I am one of the co-hosts of Trading Pages. And if you don't know what Trading Pages is, it is a podcast where two sisters with extremely different tastes in book get together and we recommend books to each other that we would normally never read or pick up at the bookstore. And then we reconvene and we bicker about books for hours at a time.
Usually longer than we intend to, but
yeah, and there's lots of tangents, there's lots of things that go around, but basically it's a really fun podcast where we just are sisterly but have very different taste in books. And the other co-host, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, hi. So I'm Allie, and I'm the older sister of the duo. And I've always been an avid reader, and Bronwyn and I have been reading books together for a very long time. Even when we didn't agree on things, we've always agreed on at least our love of books, not always the same books. Mm-hmm. So this has kind of been ongoing discussion that we've now taken to our podcast. When I'm not doing the podcast, I also dabble a little bit in book blogging. So I'm wearing my shirt today for Reading with the Lights Off, which is my romance reader blog, where I do recommendations and reviews of all my favorite romance novels. And that's kind of how the podcast started, was I was doing a live for Reading with the Lights Off, talking about some new releases.
And, oh, yeah.
I'd gone to an author blogger event, and so I was talking about some of the authors that I met and some of the books that I got at that event, and we were like, oh, well, this is interesting. Like,
I was heckling Allie in her life. It was like, Allie's book, Reading with the Lights Off, has gone live, and I was like, time to heckle. And so I went in. It was just really funny how I was like, yes, Allie, I don't read any of these books, but you're doing great. Like,
if encouraging me is heckling, then heckle away.
I always tell my friends to heckle me during mm-hmm. during live streams, yeah. too. We see that we have quite a few people in the comments, which thank you so much for coming, everybody.
Yay!
Quick reminder, if you are lurking and you would like to be a part of the book giveaway, mm-hmm. Allie, show them what they're going to win.
I just dropped my phone. Oh, my gosh.
Way to go. This is on brand.
I know, right? I was trying to like very subtly put my notes down. But anyway, so yeah, if you are lurking today, make sure that you comment at some point In the live stream, or if you're watching later, comment. I don't know when we're going to close the giveaway, but I have an incredible giveaway for you guys. So we have a hard copy of Sarah J. Maas' most recent, her newest release. This is Crescent City, the first book in the series, House of Earth and Blood. It is incredible. This book is so scrumptious. And it is just absolutely beautiful inside and out. I mean, check out this inner cover, the artwork on this.
That is really gorgeous.
I know, the artwork really on this cute. Lady is incredible. It is urban fantasy, so you've got fae, you've got mermaids, you've got centaurs, you have angels, but it's all set in a modern urban New York City type setting, so it's just amazing. And then, of course, we also have the signed book plate with that. So it's a little sticker. You can put it in this book or in whatever Sarah J. Maas book of your choosing or scrapbook.
Or you can put it on your laptop because I think just a sticker.
It is. So it's just a sticker. but people can be really particular about, you know, putting, you know, when you get book plates. I got a book plate because I got this during quarantine, so she was not actually able to sign the actual book, but she signed book plates and sent them to those of us that pre-ordered her book. So definitely comment on the live stream to be entered in a drawing for a copy of Sarah J. Maas' Crescent City. U.S. only, please, because I can't afford international shipping.
I don't know how many international people are going to be watching Sanimonium.
This is an 18 plus too. So like, please be 18 or older for that one.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you were giving them a dirty book.
No, it's not dirty, but like.
Okay. I was like,
no,
uh-oh.
It's not a dirty book, but like it's pretty intense. It has like fight scenes and battles and stuff. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, I feel like you could be like 15 or 16 and read it.
Yeah, if you're under 18, make sure that you get your parents' permission to enter, but we'd prefer that you're over 18.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what we are going to be doing today, we're going to move right along. This is not like our usual podcast. We currently, in fact, Ellie are already breaking our podcast rules because we're reading Midnight Sun together. And if you're interested in hearing us talk about that book, it's a 24-hour audiobook in case anybody was wondering, which I love. But Ellie and I are going to be talking about that in our next podcast that drops on Spotify. But this time we're going to be doing a little bit of a like get to know you and then we're going to be talking about current events in the book world, and then we're going to be ending up with a few author book recommendations. So just so you know, this is not like our normal podcast episode. We're just here to kind of hang out with you guys, entertain you. But please check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. This is like, you're like the sixth person who has said that to me in the last several days. Andrew sent me a GIF the other day that was like ridiculous, but
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. Anyway, this is not our usual podcast format, but we hope that if you've never listened to our podcast before, you enjoy hanging out with us and we'll end up listening.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're just here for the free books, we still love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's valid. That's very valid.
I think we have about, I mean, not including our Patreon episodes, I think we have 7 episodes out right now of our podcast.
I literally have no idea.
Okay, yeah. I think we have 6 or 7 episodes out. So we're still a baby podcast. And then we have about 3 more bonus Patreon episodes that you can listen to only on Patreon. But I thought it would be fun, even though, you know, we're still pretty new, what has been our favorite book that we've read so far on the podcast?
Yeah. So my favorite book that Ali recommended to me was a book called The Raging Ones.
Yes.
And I can't remember the author because if everybody knows.
Krista and Becca Ritchie, the twins.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So two twin sisters wrote this book together. And I really liked it because it did have a gay romance in it. And I was like, yes. I'm here for any type of LGBT representation.
Yeah.
And it also was a pretty cool book because it was about, like, you know exactly when you die. Like, you know, right? Isn't that what
Every single person knows. Like, they get measured at birth when exactly they're going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, it felt like it was a really long time. It was just the beginning of quarantine, but I second guessed myself there. But basically, you know exactly the moment that you're going to die. So you have like the fast trackers who they're going to die at like in their 20s. And so they're just go, go, go. And you have the people who live a long life. And then by some sort of like twist of fate, one of the fast trackers on the day she's supposed to die, she doesn't die. And then she meets two other people who kind of skipped out on their death date. And they are all intertwined with some sort of like weird connective force that gets revealed more in the second book, because it's actually a whole entire series.
Actually, it's a duology. There's just two.
Oh, duology. That's right. Yeah. Sorry.
So it's like you like a series, but you don't want to feel like you're going to be locked in for a seven book haul. This one's just two books. It's awesome. Yeah.
And it was really well written. Allie really likes romance books, but this was not the focal point of the romance.
Yeah.
Like the main thing was not the romance. It was just a really nice kind of like cherry on top. It was really well written. And once I finished, I immediately downloaded the second book. I wanted to read it. I wanted to be a part of it. So that was definitely my favorite one. The Raging Ones by Becca and...
Krista and Becca Ritchie. They are Krista twin and Becca sisters. And actually, that was their first kind of sci-fi fantasy type of book. But the rest of their books are more contemporary, but have some interesting twists to them. And overall have a lot of really good LGBT representation in the rest of their books as well. Amore Amore is a really amazing circus one that they have. It's fantastic. Kristen Becker.
All right, well, Allie, so what book that I made you read did you enjoy?
I've enjoyed several of them.
Oh, she's struggling. She's already struggling. She's like, I hated all of Bronwyn's books.
Am I comfortable? No. So I have to say my favorite so far has got to be Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe. That one ended up just being really special because I discovered the narrated version is narrated by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So, which I did not know. I had no idea when I recommended it because I read it a while ago.
That was a very special treat, getting to listen to that, because just the way that he performed the entire book was incredible, which is a thing that we ended up kind of discovering on this podcast. That wasn't the intent for us to compare and contrast audiobook versions to the regular book, but we've definitely found that that has change the reader experience dramatically. But aside from the fact that I just love Lin-Manuel Miranda, the author, and now the name's escaping me. It's like whenever I'm in the hot seat, I can't remember an author's name. It is Benjamin Alire Sands.
Oh my gosh, this is the thing, is if we don't have notes right in front of us, we are both goldfish brained, and I'm so bad about remembering authors in particular. I even try to commit it to memory, and then I'm pretty sure
it's Benjamin O'Leary Sands, though. Sands. Yeah. I'm pronouncing it wrong. But so that is
about... If you just look up Aristotle and Dante, Discover the Secrets of the Universe, it'll pop up.
Yeah, so. Like there's not multiple versions of that book. But that one is about two boys who develop a friendship over a summer, and then kind of over the course of a couple of years, one of them moves away for a little while. There's some tragedy that happens with them, but really it's just such a beautiful and easygoing story about the relationship. And it's very much like coming of age. There's some romance in it, but not in the romance that I'm used to reading, but overall it was just such a beautiful story. It is so quotable. And it just leaves you feeling so warm and nice, like you've been wrapped in this nice, cozy, warm blanket. Maybe that was just Lin-Manuel Miranda's voice wrapping me in a nice, warm blanket. But it was like a hug for my brain. It didn't have like that tragic ending. Like a lot of times it was LGBTQ. Or it was a queer novel. And like a lot of times it's usually like some kind of like gay tragedy or something that happens with it.
Yeah, that's a trope that I think that most people are trying to kind of walk away from now, is the whole trope of like of the kill your gaze. Mm-hmm. So that is really nice. And I'm really glad that you did like this book, mm-hmm. because it was cushioned in between two books that you really did not like.
Yeah. So I needed a break. And like, honestly, I can't even remember which of the two books, because it wasn't Durarara, because I didn't hate Durarara completely.
I think it was Durarara before that, but before that
was number six.
Aberrat. No, it was Aberrat.
It was Aberrat.
And you did hate Aberrat, which is, I don't understand, because I loved Aberrat.
Okay, so I loved Aristotle and Dante, and then my least favorite book that you've given me so far.
Yeah, let's hear about this one.
Can I choose one? maybe.
Because I have a hard time choosing, too.
Aberrat was pretty bad, because it just, like, kept, like, going.
I don't understand why you hated Aberrat so much. Recommended it to you
and
thinking you would like it.
It's fantasy. It has magic. It's, like, I fully expected that
there
one to be a hit.
There were too many characters. I couldn't keep track.
Characters.
There were too many characters.
There's really too many characters, and it was just kept being, like, it was like she was on a hamster wheel. It was just, like,
the same thing kept happening
over and over again.
Actual time of her life writing down the characters
of
Aberrat.
Check her Instagram.
And then she read them back out to me, and I was like, I don't need to know. Like, I just vibed with it. And Allie's like, there were too many characters.
It was insane.
I think that's a weird reason to not like a book. So.
Okay, but the thing is that, like, I don't have a problem with books with a lot of characters because, for example, Throne of Glass, which you disliked so much that you didn't finish it, okay? That one has a lot of characters in it. I will admit, that one has a crap ton of characters. I caught myself. that one has a crap ton of characters, but they all have a purpose to the story. Like, none of them are superfluous. And Aberrat, it would be like you would get introduced to all these characters and learn their backstory, and she would get attached to them, and then they'd be gone one
it's
chapter later.
It's whimsical and nice. It's whimsical. You just have to enjoy them.
Honestly,
enjoy them while they're there.
Go to our Instagram at Trading Pages Pod and scroll through our history, and you'll see where I had to handwrite out all of the characters. And then as we were doing the podcast, I realized that there were several others that I forgot. I almost couldn't write them all down in one page. There's like several characters that are mentioned that never even show up. You're like, oh, for sure, this person's going to show up, or this person's going to... No, they never show up. So it was just like all these names that you had to know, and they were
absolutely
pointless.
Allie doesn't know how
to
just sit back and enjoy a book, apparently.
Okay.
So let me talk about my least favorite book, because
no.
I think my reasoning... She already knows which one it is.
The fact
of the matter is that we can't talk about this book all that much on Facebook because the subject matter is pretty deep. But anybody who has listened to the podcast, it is a book called Wait for You.
I gave you the wrong Jennifer L. Armentrout book. I shouldn't have given you that one. That was the wrong.
Don't give me
JLA
any more Jennifer
L.
Armentrout, because. But anyway, this person goes through a traumatic event, and then like this book is a how-to on not to treat people who have gone through traumatic events.
Yes, that's
and
true. This is
I
true.
Hated this book. I hate this book so much that I literally called in experts to prove why this book absolutely sucked. We cannot talk about the subject matter on this book, but like it could have been a good book. It had potential, but they did it completely wrong. And like
Jennifer Armentrout, I love you. I'm so sorry for this.
And it was like, this was like a hot and steamy book. And I'm not super duper into romance books, but I was actually relieved when it got to the hot and steamy parts because I was like, the rest of the book is so unbearable. And so like, it was like, that's how bad it was. And I called my lawyer up and not my lawyer. I'm sorry. I don't have a lawyer. I called my lawyer friend.
I'll need to talk to my lawyer. This book is so bad. I'm suing my sister for how bad this book is.
But I messaged my lawyer friend at like midnight while I was reading this book, and I was like, okay, so what really happens if you break an NDA? And she was like, hello, can I help you?
How to alarm your friends 101. Send vague text messages about NDAs. Anyway,
so,
you'll have to. Episode 4?
I think it was
three?
Like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
it was pretty early
so episode
on.
Episode 3,
but I really...
if you want to hear Bronwyn, absolutely. I edited that one. Let me just be honest with y'all. I had to edit out like 40 straight minutes. of that
of
episode.
Me just angrily going on.
Of like, and I was, I had to, because it just, she just kept going. She absolutely tore this book a new one. And I was like, I got to cut some of this out. Because it was making the episode like 3 hours long. Probably not actually 3 hours. But no joke, I cut like 40 minutes of her rant.
I had a 10-page document. I literally had a 10-page document about why.
You
and
have
like the other thing,
no
here's some other things that we could talk about. They had a gay character, but it was like a really badly, poorly written gay character.
Not all of her gay characters have been bad since this book.
The gay character in this book, his first line was, "Hey girl," and they didn't say that he was gay, but I was like, oh, there's our token gay character.
Oh,
so I was like,
oh, you
didn't
like
love
him.
That.
He looked like
I did not
Mars.
Like it.
Anyway. So speaking of things that we like and that we don't like about books, I thought it'd be fun to talk about our favorite, because sometimes people say that tropes are a bad thing, but I mean, at least for me in the romance world, you kind of pick your books based on tropes. So what is your favorite trope or plot device? I'm curious.
You know, I had not thought about this before the podcast because I only read least favorite trope and I know that one, but I think that my favorite trope might just be like, you know, I probably could say like detective tropes are like kind of favorite.
Like the noir kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I think you like the unreliable detective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the kind of like not dopey, but the like the Columbo kind of detective.
Yeah, like I definitely, when it comes to tropes in books, I definitely will allow detective tropes to kind of go like several steps further. I also, if it comes to like, I, as much as I tease Allie about romance, I do happen to like romance, but I just like it more in like a manga anime type form.
I was gonna say, because a lot of the tropes that you give me a hard time for are ones that absolutely exist in anime and manga.
As far as my romance trope goes, I really like either the friends to lovers, mm-hmm. or like the enemies to lovers, or like the soft one falls for the grumpy one, and the grumpy one
You're
is like soft only for the sun
trope.
Boy.
Oh my gosh!
Well, you know what? Yeah. You know what? Yeah, like we are still sisters.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I do like, I guess that if I could give one answer, my answer will personally be I like detective tropes. I think that there's no such thing as a detective trope that is too cheesy. I watched Veronica Mars when I was in high school. I watched and read Sherlock.
Oh my
god.
Yeah.
So I just like any detective trope, like there is nothing too cheesy for me.
So
I love it.
Veronica Mars has the detective trope and the enemies to lovers trope in it. So that's,
oh, that's right.
Got, like, what more can you want from that one? So I have to agree with you on that one. I actually have a list of all my favorite tropes.
Oh my god.
So
so
these are like some of the random plot devices that I like. So definitely grumpy one is soft for the sunshine one. Not just like falls for, but like they're grumpy with everybody, but then they're soft with that person. And it's always been you. It's you. It's always been you. Just undoes me. this is not necessarily a romance, but I am an absolute sucker for found family. Like, it's
that
all these people
one.
From, like,
one.
All these eclectic people from all the different places, and they're all kind of displaced, but then they become a family together, and they
that
love
one
it.
Is
and it's like,
good.
Which I feel like the Raging Ones had some, like, real strong found family vibes in that one.
Yeah. I would agree. Found family is definitely a fun one.
Yeah. I'm also a huge fan of Friends to Lovers, like you said, but also, I really love, this is a plot device I love. When there's only one bed, that's like when like the two, but this is kind of more like enemies to lovers or like people who are fighting their attraction to each other and they're forced into a situation where there's only one bed.
I have to tell you that you're going to trigger all of the anime fans in the chat
do their siren call?
Well, no, because, like, the whole, like, oh, there's only one bed is, like, that's, like, a queerbaiting thing that they do in a lot of anime is, like, they will make, like, the male characters or the female characters be like, oh, there's only one bed, and then
like
nothing will come of it.
Oh, well, so. And y'all need to switch over to romance because there's something always comes of it when it's there's only one bed.
Don't switch over to romance. Don't do that. Please don't.
But it's so also, good, though. It's so happy and everything pays off.
I did say that I would ignore the chat, but I just want to call out Mallory because she said, also, please consider lovers to enemies. And I just want to say, Mallory, I see you and absolutely not, because I know what you're thinking of. So.
Well, I mean, that would be, so I started reading the Grishaverse series. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that one. Once again, totally blanking on the author. If somebody knows what I'm talking about, pop it in the chat. Grishaverse, something... Oh, crap. I'm totally forgetting it. But anyway, there's, like, the Darkling, and, you know, they kind of have, like, a romance, but then he ends up being a bad guy. But I never finished the series, so I never know how it paid off. But so I think that's another example of that lovers to enemies kind of a situation.
So are we talking about our least favorite tropes yet? Because I'm ready.
Okay. All right.
Here's the thing. You just like tropes. Like, you say that you have a favorite trope, but you just like tropes.
I could go with tropes. I could do a whole podcast on, like, one person goes insane when, like, the other person gets hurt, you know, kind of a thing. They absolutely lose their mind when they've been, like, denying their feelings. Or, wait, I just have one more. I'm so sorry. I have no least favorite tropes at all. So you can just have this whole next section.
Like, come on. You just like tropes.
No least favorite tropes. The other one is where they only call each other by their nicknames, like, in certain situations. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
go ahead. Least favorite tropes.
All right. So now that we're talking about least favorite tropes, I was like, I figured I would stop Allie because she can pretty much go on forever. She just likes tropes. My least favorite trope of all time. I hate this so much. I hate it in books. I hate it in anime. I hate it pretty much everywhere is meet cutes. I don't like meet cutes. I think they're stupid.
You take that back.
I hate meet cutes. I think they're stupid.
A meet cute is any time that two romantic love interests or potential romantic, like, pairings meet each other. That's all a meet cute is.
It's like, not, no, okay. So
Harry
it's not like because.
Ron is a meet cute. Like, that's a meet cute.
No, that is not a meet cute because, like, you couldn't consider, like, how the main characters, the love interests, and the raging ones a meet cute because, like, that was tragic and sad. Like, what I hate is, like, how in every romance novel that Allie gives me, I'm like, I hate how these characters met, and then she instantly is like, I walked away from him and his smell lingered in the air, and I remembered his golden brown eyes, and I was like, yeah, that's a meet cute. Okay. And I'm like, well, I hate it, whatever it is. So.
No. Okay, I think you're misunderstanding exactly what a meet cute is.
I am not, and I hate it. You can't tell me any differently.
It doesn't have to be that they're remembering, like, their gorgeous, like, golden colored eyes or the way that they smell. It's like when two people are forced into a situation where they would not normally have met, and then, like, that's how they meet. So, for example, if you have, like, a roommate romance or something, or, like, a neighbor's romance, one person gets locked out of their apartment, and then the neighbor has to rescue them. That's a meet cute. Two people bumping into each other. That one's super common.
It's the whole trope of, like, you know, the anime girl has toast in her mouth and then she runs into the boy and then, like, she looks up at him
she
and
has
is
what
like,
in
oh
her
my
mouth?
Gosh.
She has what in her
toast.
Mouth?
Toast. She's right. She's late for school. She has toast in her mouth.
I've literally never.
You
heard
wouldn't
of
get it. You're not a weeb, anyway. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
The weebs will know. The weebs will know. But
yeah,
I'm explaining it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm explaining to the weebs in the chat is that, like, that's a meet cute. Like, okay. They're running, they have toast in their mouth, and they bump into their new anime.
You don't hate that.
I do. That's what I said. I said I hated anime. I hated it in books. I don't think that it's cute at all. Like, I hate how it's like you. If I ran into somebody and I bumped through them in the door, I'm never speaking to this person ever again.
Okay,
like, can I just say
accurate.
That? Like,
that's accurate.
Like, if I was late for class and I ran into somebody and he was like, "Hey, darling," I'd be like, "This person." Listen, you're dead to me. Do not, like, and that's what he did too.
Well,
he was like,
no, she,
and whatever.
In the book I gave you, that's exactly what happened. She literally runs away and doesn't go to class.
I know. And that was valid. That was valid. But then, like, later she was like, so who was this guy that I ran into? Like, if that were me, I would be like, absolutely not.
Well, yeah,
no way. I'm never speaking to this person again.
Anyway, I don't think I have any least favorite tropes. Because I really, if there's romance, as long as it's a consensual relationship with a happy ever after, and there's like no like weirdness going on, like there basically is no trope that I am not on board for. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that the trope that Allie would dislike is cliffhangers.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I am not a fan. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That will make
Allie
me.
She hates. I don't know if that's considered a trope, but Allie hates cliffhangers.
No, that's a plot device. That's because I said tropes or plot device. Yeah, no. I hate cliffhangers. Oh, they kill me. Especially when, like, it's one thing if the next book in the series is already out. But yeah, like if the next book isn't already out, that will stress me out so bad. And then the other thing that bugs me is when the main character dies. Like, I don't like that. And I'm like, why? The book was about them. Why would you kill that person off? Which I don't want to like name any spoilers, but there was a very popular book that was turned into a movie. And when I got to the end of that book, it starts with an A. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh.
Maybe I do.
It's like it's been out for years, so I don't want to spoil it. I mean, I feel like the moratorium is up on that, but there was a very popular YA book.
I will say, along with that, I think that Allie also does dislike, because we've talked about this before, but the bury your gaze trope. I see people talking about it in the chat, and
the
that
what?
Is like the bury your gaze trope, which is essentially. Oh. It's essentially like it's a plot device where they're like, look, we had these gay people in the show, but now they're dead. Like type of thing.
No. That's and just bad so, writing. That's just like, that's
it's
just
a, it's
cheap.
A trope that's used a lot in a lot of, in fact,
which,
they,
And that's a really good segue into our next topic, which is going to be super hard for us not to take the entire time on, but we're going to try to limit it to a conversation, because I've been super salty that Bronn has not had a conversation with someone else on a podcast about this,
okay,
and did not
but listen,
include me.
I somehow managed to get Deese to go on a tangent. Deese had notes. He had things that he was going to talk about. He was like, I have this list of questions. And then I brought up this subject, and he was like, all right, let's go. And I was like, yes,
and
here
I'm
we go.
And I'm listening to the podcast, and I was so salty because I said, Bronwyn, I have been begging you to talk about She Who Must Not Be Named forever. So we agree that we're finally going to be able to talk about it, especially since the female Voldemort has just released a new book, which has basically, like, she's made herself irredeemable. I'm not even going to say her name, but we all know who we are talking about. And just kind of how it is difficult, because I know for me, I still very much like the book, and there are And it's interesting because looking back, they're like, ooh, there is some questionable stuff, like, in those books. We found things that were questionable in, I guess, like, Golden Compass. Like, looking back, like, when you analyze it really, really closely, Golden Compass has some stuff that maybe is not the best. And so what I'm trying to do is reconcile my love for the books and these childhood memories that I have with these books, but then completely disassociating them from the author.
Yeah.
And how do we move forward as a fandom that?
What makes me really, really sad is that, like, I feel like I was almost too forgiving and too, like, how do I put it? Like, there was a big part of me that was kind of like, well, you know, I hope somebody's educating her. I hope she knows better. And, like, because there were hints of things happening where, you know, people would say, why do they have, you know, one black character? Why is Seamus the Irishman who's a pyromaniac? And I would be like, well, that might just, and I feel like I tried to convince myself for way too long that, like, that what she was doing okay was okay. And I'm sad that it took, like, blatant acts of that for everybody to get on board, because I was already kind of, like, losing it with her. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when she finally, like, wrote her dissertation on, like, why I'm transphobic and why it's okay, like, that was when everybody was like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
And not just, like, quietly being that, but then also trying to convince other people of why it is wrong. You know, so this book came out and just is extremely harmful to the trans community because of its portrayal of a homicidal cis male who basically pretends to be transgender. I haven't read it.
You know,
I'm not
it's
going
actually.
To.
It's actually, so, like, I just have to say that I took one for the team, and I read an excerpt from that book when this character was revealed, and unfortunately, I do not think that it actually was a cis man. I think that a transgender person just straight up was the bad guy. Mm. And trigger warning for anybody, if you don't want to hear about transphobia, please, we'll move on to lighter subjects later, but, the character was presenting as female, had a female name, had a female identification, but then, like, when the character almost gets murdered by the serial killer, was like, oh, and then I noticed his Adam's apple switches the gendered pronouns that he's using. Yeah. And, like, and starts, like, mentioning, like, how ugly this person is and how, like, this and this. And it's really, it's very upsetting because it's not, like, she wasn't even trying to hide anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, she just, like, and she really, like, when I was talking with Deese about it on the Social Hour, so the Social Hour, here you go, Deese, here's your shout out. It's another podcast on the Pants Pending Network. I went on there and I discussed books, and Deese said something where he was like, all she had to do was just, like, shut up and stop talking. Like, and she didn't. Like, she shared an article that really could have been, like, a nice article where it was like, such and such brings relief to period havers in X country. And she was like, oh, period havers? What do you, like, do you mean women? And it's like, no. And then everybody kind of called her out on that. And I went, well, maybe she was just, like, trying to be funny. And I kind of was like, okay. And then she just doubled down and she shared articles about, like, you know, people detransitioning and a whole bunch of other things. And it just was like, she really is digging herself a bigger hole. And what I really want to talk about is how damaging it is for the community, because so many people are members of the LGBT community who have really identified with Harry Potter, who have their houses, their, you know, it's
and
millennials.
That's what I was going to say. It feels like a bait and switch, because I feel that so many people in the LGBT community, there was a reason that everyone was so attracted to Harry Potter, because it was about inclusion and about acceptance and not being bigoted towards people. It was this safe space where magic was real and you could be anything and anything could be real.
And I keep saying that she literally had a character in her book who was born a certain way, was muggle born, and then, like, she discovered that she was a witch, and then she went to school, and there were purists that were like, you'll never be a real witch, you're, you know, they called her slurs, and I was like, how do you write a story about this, and then not feel compassion for transgender people? Like, it absolutely boggled my mind.
So, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but me as a I'm always kind of trying to be solution focused, and I'm like, I just really hope that maybe there's something else going on that, like, I mean, I wouldn't wish a
isn't that so
break.
Sad? You wish that you're like, I hope she's sick. Either she's an asshole or she's sick. Like,
I said a cuss. I'm sorry. Sorry. Bleep us.
No, I said a cuss.
sorry. My chair my chair is very distracting. I'm sorry, guys. I just keep going up and down.
Love live podcasting.
Yay. We're professionals here. Anyway, so I don't know what's going on. I'm always looking for a reason, not an excuse. It definitely does not excuse or change the fact that harm has been done, but just the way that she's kind of, like, gone on and on about it. I'm like, I don't know if she's been in quarantine too long or what's going on, but she just needs to pull back. She needs to listen to people who actually are in that community and take some time to reflect and think about how damaging her words are, and how she keeps promoting buy a t-shirt from this specific person that, like, all of their stuff was trans exclusionary radical feminism. I am a feminist, and it's like, it's that radical feminism that gives feminism a bad name. But anyway, I wanted to focus on the positive, if there is, like, a shining light to that. So unless B, you had something else you needed to say.
I just feel sad because there are a lot of people who are just they have to abandon Harry Potter completely, which is really sad. And, you know, people who are covering up tattoos. And I mean, even for me, like, I usually...
ask you, because you have a tattoo, and I was curious about what you were going to do with that. Because
I have plans for it. I'm going to make it like super, like, so I have a Harry Potter tattoo and it's hidden. It's right here, but I'm going to make it gay. I'm going to make it super gay.
You should make it super, super gay.
Yeah. So
I feel bad. I'm like, you shouldn't have to, cause some people are saying like, there's no excuse for any Harry Potter content. You can't post any Harry Potter content anymore. I'm certainly not purchasing anything from anywhere where the proceeds are going back to She Who Must Not Be Named. However, you know, I do believe that there is a place for us to reclaim the narrative. And truly, you know, Harry Potter belongs to us. And she's the one who created it, but she put it out into the world. And really, it belongs to the readers. And this is true of any material that gets put out. You know, authors don't have any control of how their work is received and the people that run with it. Some positive things that I've been seeing. So on TikTok, there's a really amazing person. His handle is Animagus. Oh my gosh, Acting Animagus. And I swear he is a dead ringer for James Potter / Daniel Radcliffe. Like he looks exactly like, not exactly like Daniel Radcliffe, but looks like someone who's related to Daniel Radcliffe. So that's why I say he looks like a James Potter. And he did a really lovely video where he was head boy and he was, you know, in the hallways at night like he wasn't supposed to. And he runs into a young wizard in the hallway, wandering the hallways because he can't get into his appropriate dorm. And I can't remember if it was he or she. I can't remember them. They could not get into their correct dorm. And he explained, he said, oh, you know, I really love this castle, but some of the magics in it are just really old. And he's like, you know, and basically takes the young student under his wing. And he's like, we're going to figure out a way and we're going to like make sure you get into the dorm that you belong into. So basically alluding to the fact that it was a trans student at Hogwarts that couldn't get into their appropriate dorm, but James Potter was making sure that they got where they needed to go. And it's like gestures like that from content creators that have been doing Harry Potter videos and cosplays forever. And like, they don't want to let it go, but they're also being really wonderful about reclaiming the narrative and saying like, nope, I know that she's saying this, but this really is what the heart of Harry Potter is.
I would like to give a shout out to Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. Yes. They're not a part of Fanspending, but I was featured in one of their episodes. One of my voicemails was, which was super cool. Mm-hmm. But Harry Potter and the Sacred Text is it's a podcast about sort of like treating Harry Potter like a sacred text. So they took lessons and they talk a lot about privilege and a lot about, you know, they have a lot of transgender guests on and they talk a lot about that. And they were talking about how Harry Potter taught me how to be nice, how to be accepting, all this other stuff. When J.K. Rowling came out with all of these words, people were like, cancel Harry Potter and the sacred text because we can't talk about Harry Potter anymore. And it was really upsetting for them. But recently they have been doing a lot of episodes where they're like, listen, we understand neither of the co-hosts are transgender themselves. So they're like, we want to hear from that community about how you feel about this, if we should continue, if we shouldn't. And they have had whole entire episodes dedicated to kind of just talking about it and like deconstructing what has happened and how to move on. So I would like to give them a shout out if you feel like you want to listen to that. And their earlier episodes are really great too, because it does bring out the light in Harry Potter, but they are not blind to some of the problematic things that happen earlier in some of the books. They do bring up like saying, well, J.K. Rowling wrote it like this and I don't particularly think that that was great. So they're not like a Harry Potter worshiping podcast. They really look at it critically. So I want to give them a shout out. And I also have just been seeing a lot of Harry Potter fans that are just, they're like, you know what, some people are done with it and that's totally fine. But other people, they're like, you are Umbridge and we are, you know, McGonagall and Trelawney. Yeah. Like, that meme was going around today and I loved it. But it's just, it really is like, you know, we're either sticking together or we're supporting the people who are moving on. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and whichever one of those two camps that you fall into is totally fine and valid. And I just hope that we can all accept each other for whichever one of those categories that you fall into. Because, you know, I don't know that it is something that I can let go of, but I can definitely let go of that person. But I, you know, there's so many parts of, I don't know, the lore and the positive experiences that I've had, you know, that I've just been thinking about it a lot and not wanting to cancel out. And I don't want to taint the positive memories and experiences that I have had because of it. Cause I know you've had a lot. But at the same time, if you are wanting to move away from Harry Potter, we wanted to give you some recommendations today of queer magic books. I know that I've recommended Cassandra Clare to you before, and you were not a huge fan of it. You did not like City of Bones. You thought it was cheesy. Okay, but the thing
this was even before we were doing the podcast.
This I know. Before this is we were doing the podcast. Pages, yeah.
Allie, yeah, pre-trading pages. Now you can know this is not just something that we made up for the podcast. This has been forever. Allie recommended City of Bones to me, and I did not like it. I thought it was weird. I couldn't finish it. It was like the whole thing with the brother and the sister
incest,
and the...
And that took a while, but I had to go online and read spoilers when I first read it because I was like, I gotta know. I gotta, like, know for sure that there's no
incest. And, like,
incest
the whole,
here.
Like,
this
will they, won't
out.
They, all that. Like, I did not enjoy
it. Hear me out. Okay, so City of Bones... And at least, like, the first three book of the whole now, like, anthology of books that she has are only scratched the surface of what her ability was. They were not her best work. I'll just say that right now. That was not the best work of Cassandra Clare.
They did get turned into movies somehow.
Well,
that were
one,
even worse.
One got turned into a movie. The movie was terrible. The TV series that the CW did was fire. I don't care what anybody says. It had amazing POC and LGBT representation. It was fantastic. It had an ace
Ellie
character.
Has spent
they had
so many
several...
years trying to get me to watch that show,
okay.
And I refuse.
Anyway,
I refuse.
What I will say is, oops, and I'm grabbing the wrong book. So this is CP2. This is the final book in. So then she has this other series, which is still in the Shadowhunters universe, but this goes back in time, like way, way, way in the past, in like the, I want to say like the 1800s. I can't remember. It's been a while. But this is the conclusion. But this is really, so I read City of Bones. I liked it. You know, it was a quick and easy read. The finishing out the City of Bones series, and oh my gosh, there's a fly in here. I'm sorry.
The fly says no. The fly says absolutely not.
And like the ending of the series, like you really just see how her writing and her voice develops so much more. So I will admit that sometimes when an author first starts, their writing is not as good, but it develops over time. I found that the ending of that series, but then when you read her, this is more like historical fiction that she does, is just really, really, really good. And then one of her, I believe it's Queen of Air and Darkness. I see, like, they have so many names.
I just want you all to know that Allie has been trying to get me to read Cassandra Clare books since I graduated high school.
Yeah.
Like.
but here's the deal. So one of her more recent series, the one that's set in California, has an openly trans, well, she's not open in the beginning of the series, so spoiler
she's
alert.
Canon trans.
She's canon trans. And it is, and again, not tragic. There's some awesome, like, fae romance going on with that one, too. I haven't finished that series. But she, I think that she has amazing representation. And I don't want to say that, like, oh, just because somebody has good representation in their books is not the only reason to read them. But her writing just keeps getting better and better and better with all the series that she's been doing. And I absolutely love Magnus and Alec, Malik for life. And they're two adopted babies. One is a warlock and one is a baby shadow hunter. And I'm here for this. Anyway, so I would highly recommend that. I do know, do you know who Cassandra Clare is friends with?
Who?
Holly Black.
This is an author that I actually very much like. I do not know if my dad is still watching this stream right now or if he's going to be listening to this later, but I have to tell this story.
Okay, tell the story, okay? And then I'll talk about the Iron Trial.
So Holly Black is an author that I read back in high school. One of the things that you might recognize her best from is the Spiderwick Chronicles. She wrote the Spiderwick Chronicles, but she also read a book series that I really, really enjoyed in high school called Tithe. Now, if you are aware of Tithe or Holly Black at all, it was a really, really dark, kind of gritty, fairy book, like dark fae type novel. Mm-hmm. And when I was an edgelord in high school, I lived for it. And I absolutely loved her books. And it also had LGBTQ characters in it. And I don't know the exact logistics of the story, but I managed to get myself, my stepsister, and my librarian in trouble by reading Tithe. Because
see, I don't even understand how this happened.
So I don't really either. Like, I don't know exactly what happened, but I probably was like 13 or 14 at this age. So mm-hmm. just remember, this is Priscilla's age. So like, just think about how you would feel if like Priscilla was reading this type of content. It would be like right on the cusp. But my librarian, I was like eating books in yeah. high school.
I
was absolutely like there. My poor librarian was constantly checking out 5 or 6 books to me at a time, and I would just constantly read them. So one day she's kind of like, oh well, I think you'll like this author. So she takes me over to the Holly Black section.
Sorry,
and she's got a whole bunch of books of Holly Black, including the Spiderwick Chronicles, but of course I'm drawn to the dark, just said Tithe, the dark fae novel. Yeah. And I start reading, and it's already like, it's super edgy, super dark, and it like talks about somebody almost getting drowned and like all this other stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, like I'm so ready to read this. Actually, I think I might have been even younger. I may have even been like 12 or 13, but because we went to Allie and I went to a middle high school together, so like the high school library and the middle school library was one and the same.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe not a book that normally would have been in a middle school library. And so she's like, yeah, sure, go read Holly Black next, you friggin' weirdo that's always in my library. And so I take it home and I read it. And, of course, I love it. Like, I'm so into it, but I just absolutely devour it. So I end up buying it at Borders. I love it so much that I go and I buy the whole entire series of Borders. Well, mm-hmm. Alyssa sees me reading it one day and is like, what book are you? Because, you know, Alyssa read a whole lot too. And I said, oh, it's Tithe. I really, really like it. I love it so much. So I gave it to Alyssa to read. And so Alyssa takes it home, and it's, I mean, like, the cover must have been, like, some sort of siren song, because everybody's just looking at it, and
it's a beautiful cover. So, it has, like, a butterfly, like a golden butterfly, or a moth, maybe?
That's dead, but, oh my goodness, Dad is here. I'm so sorry, Dad. So then Deb, because Alyssa has borrowed this book, is now, she starts reading the book. And let me just tell you, in the first page of this book, this girl, she's like underage, drinking, smoking, doing all this stuff. She nearly gets murdered by a Kelpie. And then she shoves her cigarette butt into her mom's drink, and the mom almost chokes on it. And like all this other like crazy dark stuff happens at the beginning. There's like underage drinking and KISSING and like, mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about it. So one day Dad's in the car with me, and he goes, hey, Bronwyn, I gotta ask you about that book that you lent to Alyssa.
And I
was like, yeah, what about it? And I didn't even think anything of it, because I was like, my librarian told me that I could read it, and I got it from the library.
Oh, fairies, okay.
Yeah, and so Dad was like, well, it just was kind of like maybe not quite, you know, like he's having the conversation that you have with your kid when you feel like they're maybe consuming inappropriate content. And he was like, there just was like the girl was like putting a cigarette into, and like she's your age in the book, so I just want to talk to you about it and, you know, like make sure that everything. And then he goes, well, so who recommended that book to you? And without even thinking, like, I was not in trouble, so I said, my librarian.
You threw her under the bus.
I didn't know I did. I didn't know I did. So anyway, that librarian did not recommend me any books without, like, when she checked me books out, she would, like, look at them, flip them over, check inside out, Google. I got her in trouble.
I remember that librarian, though, because that was, like, we had the same librarian. And
she was so nice.
She recommended Memoirs of a Geisha to me.
Ah, yes.
Which,
yeah,
that one is legit about, well, this is family friendly, so I can't say, but ladies.
It's got some heavy content in it.
It's got heavy content and ladies of the night.
Mm-hmm. And some pretty explicit descriptions of it, too.
So, on that note, so Holly Black.
I had to tell that story because I just thought it was funny.
That's an amazing story. That's a great tangent. So, I don't understand how you cannot like Cassandra Clare when she's BFFs with Holly Black. So, this is for middle schoolers. This is a middle grade series.
Don't worry.
One is safe for your middle schooler, okay? It does have some pretty dark elements in it, though. It's just not going to have the K-I-S-S-I-N-G elements, but it just depends on how dark you're willing to go. It's a magic school. We have a main character that has a physical disability, and he's very cranky, so he's not, like, a lovable main character. I don't want to give any spoilers about his role in things, but it's a magical school. So if you're looking for a magical school-type setting, Iron Trial is amazing. It has lots of cool plot twists. It is co-authored by Cassandra Clare and Holly Black. It is a series. This is the first book in the series. I will say I haven't finished it, but that's just because my TBR is insane. But this book is amazing. So this is a great alternative. You can see it is kind of dark, though. We've got, like, the scary guy on the front.
Don't judge a book by its cover. You might get your librarian in trouble.
And then, like, the other recommendation I want to give, this is a school-based, and this is young adult. This one is not magic-based, but this is by one of my favorite authors. I met her at a PolyCon last year, Kristen Simmons. This is called The Deceivers. This is loosely based on The Legend of Valhalla, where Odin would send out the Valkyrie to collect the dead, except that it's a director of a school, Dr. Odin, sends out kids to collect secrets. So no magic in this one, but it is based in a school. Amazing representation in this one as well. So those are my book recommendations. As you know, if you are wanting to separate from Harry Potter, there are some incredible magic-based and school. It's depending on whether it was the fact that they were at a boarding school or whether it was magic. There really are some incredible authors out there. I feel like I've missed. Oh, Rick Riordan. I don't want to forget Rick Riordan.
Wait, it's not Rick Riordan?
Oh, is it?
I thought it was Rick Riordan. That's how I've always read it. I don't know. I've never heard his name said out loud. Oh, no.
The thing is, I thought it was Henry Cavill, and it's not.
Yeah, you did think it was Henry Cavill, so.
I don't know. I always assumed it was Rick Riordan.
I thought it was Rick Riordan. Wait, hold on. Chat, do you know what it is? Is it Rick Riordan or Rick Riordan?
Riordan
or Riordan? They've left us. They've left us to die. We're just going to.
Well, remember, there's a delay, though.
I don't know. I can't wait that long for the answer.
But anyway, so Rick Riordan, has a lot of diversity in the characters. The Magnus Chase series, there is a canon trans character that gets introduced in Hammer of Thor. That one I have not personally read, but have been a huge fan of all of the Percy Jackson series. And then I also like that he's branched off. Because he also wrote one that had Egyptian mythology, but that was from the perspective of an African-American boy. What I like that he's done more recently is he has Rick Riordan Presents, and so it is going in-depth.
Riordan.
Is it Riordan?
I don't know. Okay. They say Riordan, so I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. And so he has Rick Riordan, this is going to mess me up now, for Presents,
anyway,
where he has people that are represent the culture that they are writing about, and they are able to give authentic voices to those legends. But it's all the same kind of style as Percy Jackson, but it's a collection of different authors, and they have been on sale recently. I bought all of them for my daughter, and she reads them independently. She's 8, so they are definitely, they're children's level. So shout out to Rick Riordan. Riordan?
Anyway, so I feel like we would be remiss if we did not bring up trans authors as well. I think that that is super important. I know that it is really hard for trans authors to become mainstream, for their books to be presented. And honestly, the gender of our authors should not even matter. But unfortunately, just harder for trans people. And that sucks. But I wanted to definitely bring up a few trans people. And trans authors. So first of all, we have J.Y. Yang, who is a non-binary author. And I actually learned about this from my good friend Sarah. And I was so excited to hear about this because they write silk punk novels, which is really cool. It's not steampunk, it's silk punk. So it's like, it's essentially steampunk.
I'm familiar with cyberpunk and czar punk even, but I've never heard of silk punk.
Yeah, there's like cyberpunk, solar punk, diesel punk, but so silk punk is using East Asia influences and aesthetic, and it's really cool. And so they wrote a book that Sarah recommends that is called Black Tides of Heaven, and it's actually a series, and I'm really summing it up very quickly, but it's a world where everyone starts off as genderless, they, them, and then they get sort of a gender confirmation surgery once they decide at a certain age, and they get to pick out what gender they are. But it is a fantasy magic novel, and it's a really good, really well-written series, according to Sarah. And I downloaded the audiobook essentially immediately.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by the silk punk aspect.
So I ended up also looking up another author whose name is Margaret Killjoy, and she is a trans woman and self-proclaimed anarchist who lives in the Appalachian Mountains.
Which, I'm going to correct you. It's Appalachian.
Okay, well, Appalachian.
It's Appalachian.
Lives in the Appalachian Mountains.
Appalachian.
And I was really excited. Like, I have not read any of her books either. She's a trans woman, but I just thought that her bio was so lovely because she was like, I'm a trans woman, I'm an anarchist, and I live in the Appalachian Mountains.
Appalachian. Or Appalachian Mountains. I do occasionally say Appalachian Mountains. Appalachian.
And I absolutely loved her bio. It was lovely. She has pink hair, at least in that picture. So, and the book series that was recommended with that was the Daniel Kane series. And then, this trans author, she's actually a little bit more mainstream, but still not quite as much as Charlie Jane Anders. Mm-hmm. And, she wrote the book All the Birds in the Sky, and, definitely, we should be supporting trans authors and looking at their content and, you know, making sure that we read their stuff. And so I definitely wanted to just make sure that a few of those guys got listed. But I am very excited to read Black Tides of Heaven, which is the one about they start off as gender neutral and then they choose to confirm their gender. And I just think that that's...
And somebody mentioned that sounds like a really cool story. Ursula K. Le Guin. In the comments?
That was Cassie.
I didn't realize that she... I only read a couple of hers, the dragon books that she wrote. That was forever ago.
Like, was that the Earthsea trilogy? I'm not quite following just yet, but...
Never mind. There was the Earthsea. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah. So definitely check those out. We are going to be commenting underneath the, after the live video is over, I'm going to just make sure that we comment all of our, author and book recommendations that we have for you so that you guys can, And just make sure that you guys get a chance to get those books if you would like to, because certainly we are always, I mean, even if you are, you know, moving on from Harry Potter or not, mm-hmm. new book recommendations are just great. People are constantly saying, yeah. can I recommend a book to you? And I'm like, yes, of course you can. Always. I may not read it right away, but for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, so we'll make sure that we compile all that. And if there's any that we are missing, definitely let us know, because I'm always looking to expand. And unfortunately, I feel like a lot of the stuff that comes through mine are kind of like, you know, the algorithm sorts like things that you've read before and be like, oh, here's mm-hmm. more of what you've already read, when what you really want is something that's like just a little, you know, I want an offshoot of that. I want something that's different and has mm-hmm. different characters.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I think that I think that it might be just about time for us to finish up with the Q&A. Just before we do, in case anybody's planning on leaving, Allie and I would both like to mention that Trading Pages is a part of the Pants Pending Network. You can find us at tradingpages.pantspending.com or anywhere else where you can find podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Trading Pages Podcast, Trading Pages Pod on Instagram. Please also, we have a Patreon with Pants Pending. If you with just $1 a month, you can get all of the bonus content for all of the podcasts. So you can donate at patreon.com/pantspending. If we get 20 patrons total, Allie and I will be releasing embarrassing childhood photos. Ooh. So we need to get up to 20. We made kind of a higher goal because we wanted to really push people to become patrons. Mm-hmm. Please go ahead and check that out. I also would like to give a shout out to Kaiju Coffee Break, who is also doing a panel for Sandemonium. They're going to be on next Sunday, and you will see me there. There as well. Yay. I'm being forced to watch a Godzilla movie that is questionable. So that's just what we do.
I'm glad they tapped you to do that and not me, because the last time I watched a Godzilla movie, I legitimately cried because they killed Godzilla. And I thought that Godzilla was misunderstood.
So definitely please check into the Kaiju Coffee Break podcast when it is on next week. And we are going to go ahead and continue with the Q&A.
Yeah, so pop your questions. Ask us questions. It can be about us. It can be about the podcast. It can be about books.
It can be about literally anything. We are just, you could ask me about my taco shirt that also has hot sauce and all that stuff on it.
That's so amazing. I love your taco shirt.
Thank you. Hi. Bye, Dad. Bye, Papa.
Bye, Dad.
Just a reminder that Godzilla is the one true non-binary icon. Correct.
That's so good. Yeah, I just remember that, like, I don't know, because I can't remember it, because it was our babysitters watched it with us, Godzilla. And there is the scene where they kill all the fish in the tank, and then they were going to use that mm-hmm. same technology to kill Godzilla. And I was like, it's not even Godzilla's fault that he's alive. They made him with their nuclear testing. He's just, that's so cruel. I can't believe they just killed him like that. I was devastated. And you were totally fine, but I was legit upset.
So we're getting some questions rolling in So if a book, Seneca, I don't know who that person is, whoever Seneca is, obviously a complete weirdo. If a book could be eaten, what would the most delicious book be?
Probably the first Twilight, because it's got the apple on the front.
No, absolutely not. That book is thick. I
think Crescent City, because it's scrumptious.
No, you cannot. I would pick like the smallest book in the world. Like I would pick like one of those.
No, I figured like what one would taste the best. That if I could convert the book into food form, what would be the most delicious?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Incorrect. Anyway. Seneca is asking, if a book could be eaten, I guess. Maybe that's actually what it means. If a book could be eaten, what would be the most delicious book?
And we both know the answer to which
Food Wars,
sibling...
the Food Wars manga.
Yeah. But which sibling would win in a physical fight? Let's do a 3-2-1.
That's me.
Bronwyn.
Yeah. That's me.
of which may or may not have actually happened in our childhood.
I used to beat the shishi out of Allie
in the past, but absolutely. She's about a head taller than me.
I also
been physically stronger. And we
I don't do this now because of quarantine, but I also play roller derby. So that is giving me even more of an edge.
Yeah. But she could kick my butt long before she did roller derby. And then we used to do this thing all the time when we were younger. And I'm like younger, I mean like all the way up until we were in college. Or I was in college. She would pick me up and like carry me around. Like, and it was like our like party trick, be like the little sister's picking up the big sister. We thought we were hilarious. So we have multiple pictures.
And Allie has been, like, Allie's been confused as the younger sister.
And carrying me around.
Allie's been confused as the younger sister forever. Yeah. She's always been confused as the younger sister. And that's why she always proclaims that she's the oldest sister, because she needs to assert her dominance. Mm-hmm. So yes, I would win. I would crush her. I would crush her tiny body.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Mallory says, IDK, if Allie ever got into the Avatar universe, but have you heard about the novels they've put out about Avatar Kyoshi, who apparently has a girlfriend or something?
It sounds like some romance, so I'm down.
Well, Avatar Kyoshi is, like, she's the type of romance that I could live for, because she is, like, she doesn't take any SHIT. She, like, she... She, like, essentially, like, in the Avatar universe, they were trying to prove that she didn't murder somebody once, and they were like, well, let's call forth Avatar Kyoshi. They were like, Kyoshi, tell us that you didn't murder this person, and she was like, no, I totally did that. Like, she's savage. So, yes, we love that Kyoshi has a girlfriend. We also love that Korra and Asami are bisexual legends. We live for that.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's been a lot of really good representation coming from not all of the sort of, like, cartoons that are, like, children adult cartoons, but, like, Dragon Prince has several lesbian characters. So we love that. It's great for us. Somebody asked us top 5 authors. That's not a question for me, because I can't even remember the authors' names.
Well, no, so, like, and mine's, like, constantly changing, but I definitely have to say Jennifer L. Armentrout, Sarah J. Maas, Cassandra Clare. I mean, like, and it's always fluid, but I also feel like the guy who wrote The Golden Compass, that's definitely up there. I can do like my top 4. I just recently discovered Sarah Rae. I really like her.
So I've talked about this before, but I do not read books because of the authors.
Yeah.
There are certain authors that I have read a good majority of their works of, but it really is not. I don't, like, there are so many times when, like, for example, when Allie said Holly Black is still writing books, I was like, oh, really? I happen to like that author.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't.
You would love The Darkest Part of the Forest. It's so amazing. Like, fae shenanigans galore. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's so good.
But, so I tend to read a book just because I think it looks like a good book to read. So I don't really have a favorite author. I have books that I enjoy reading. I'm sorry. I'm really boring. I'm really bad about that. Dad asks, what's your favorite childhood book? Mine is certainly The Chronicles of Narnia. I read that whole series over and over and over and over again as a kid.
Mine would probably be, because I read Dune when I was younger too, and so I really liked Dune. I mean, obviously Harry Potter, like that was a huge one.
I think Golden Compass for both of us was a pretty big one.
Uh-huh. But I feel that whole series we read together. I was in high school, so I'm trying to think of like more childhood.
Gotcha.
You know, but definitely The Hobbit was really good. Quinn's reading like the children's version of The Hobbit right now, which is basically just an illustrated version of The Hobbit. So, because I mean, when I was a kid, I was reading like Pony Pals and stuff. So.
I know I was reading like Janie B. Jones,
Nancy Drew,
and yeah. What was that one stable pony book that we both like read? Oh, Goosebumps was another one that I consumed.
I think Pony Pals. Because yeah,
was it Pony Pals?
Because I had Pony
Pals. It was like Barnyard. I thought it was like Barnyard Gals or something. I don't know. It had horses in it. We love horses.
Because like I read Pony Pals and then you passed it down. And then when I was at Mom's house this summer, I stole all the Pony Pals books and I brought them home with me.
That's okay. I took all the Judy V. Jones books. Kat asks, do either of you have a preferred main character type? I feel like my preferred main character is one that can handle themselves. I don't like any sort of damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. I don't really like characters that are really reliant on everybody around them to guide them through the story. I like a character that does what they think is right and correct to do. And I think it's even more interesting if the other people around them don't really like vibe with that. If they're if they're like, no, don't do that, and they're like, I know what I have to do, like I just prefer a really headstrong character. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, for I'm probably the same way. You know, I don't want to just say like the stereotypical strong female character where she's clumsy but she automatically knows how to fight. Yeah. No, like I want a badass female, like
you said another cuss.
The tough female character that actually fought and trained and worked, and the fly came back, and actually worked to become good at fighting and to become physically strong and capable, but also they have like a sharpness and a wit and to them, and they can also have fun and they enjoy life. So I know that Throne of Glass was a miss for you, but Selena Sardothian she's sarcastic and she is just kick butt. And then I also like, of course, because she's we have the same name, Alexandria Andros from the Covenant series by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Like, she kicks butt so hard.
Why don't you?
I love it.
Segue that into who'd be your book BFF?
It'd be Alexandria for sure. It'd be Alex. It would be Alex or Selena Sardothian, like in a heartbeat, because like they're both kick butt, but they're also not overly serious. Like they know how to vibe, and they'd be able to hang out and get into some trouble with you.
I feel like my book BFF would probably, I feel like I would hang with Candy Quackenbush and Aberrat.
Of course you would.
I totally would. She's totally like, and the other thing too is that like the thing that Allie hated about Aberrat that I loved about Aberrat was that Candy Quackenbush got shoved into this like fantastical world and she was just like, yes.
Like, and she was like, this is where I belong. This is where I should have been all this time.
Yeah, she's like, I belong here. I like and this. Like that's the same way I would be too. If I woke up tomorrow and I was in a fantasy world, I was with Candy Quackenbush, we'd just vibe.
Like, no, whereas I would be like, y'all know this is not normal, right? Like, that's weird. Why is each island a different time? That doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, well, because you don't know how to vibe, Allie. Lee wants to know, favorite book adaptation to a movie, which is a tough one.
I honestly have to say the original Twilight. They actually did a good job with the original Twilight, and then they changed directors. It's to say nothing of the acting, but that was the one that stayed the most true to the book.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. I would say that my favorite book to movie adaptation would be, which one was it? It was a Stephen King one. The Green Mile.
Oh, okay.
Was that Stephen King?
Yeah, that was Stephen King. He has a TV series that was based on a number of his novellas, and it's called Haven, I think. That TV series was really good. I know you said movie, but that was an incredible show. But it ended kind of on a cliffhanger. I don't know if it got canceled early or what. But I was very disappointed.
The Stephen King books I thought got adapted pretty well into movies. Mm-hmm. I like Stephen King is kind of the only type of horror that I can really handle, and I just think his stories are pretty interesting. But I'm not super like, I just really don't like. Like, if I watch a movie that was adapted from a book, I have to have not read the book.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To answer Cassie, have y'all read Redwall? I have. I haven't read the Redwall series.
I have.
It's pretty good. It's cute.
It has mice.
Also a little sad. It does have mice.
Yeah.
As little, yeah.
I mean, I might read it. I might go on. My TBR is like super long, so it's gotta like, I gotta have a compelling argument to read it. Sorry, I'm trying to catch up on all the comments in here. I hate like seeing myself looking down on the live stream.
Don't worry, I'll follow the questions if you
to the swear jar. I feel like Gideon the Ninth might be on my TBR right now. I might have added that. Hold on, let me look. Because like I don't know what's even on like my TBR. I have to go open up my Kindle and see if it's in there. I feel like I might have that on there.
Somebody says you'd pick Kalena over
Selena. Selena. So Selena and Feyre are two characters from Sarah J. Maas, and that's a tough one. Like for my BF, because I of the two series, I like A Court of Thorn and Roses series better than Throne of Glass. But I think that I would be better friends with Selena than I would be with Feyre. If anyone's familiar with those series.
Kat says, why did I know Allie was going to say Twilight? Because Allie is...
I'm super predictable. And I just want things that make me feel good. And I want to look at a movie. If I'm going to watch a book-to-movie adaptation, I want to watch a movie that gives me the same experience that I had when I read the book. And for better or for worse... And we'll get into this on our next episode of the podcast talking about Twilight. But for better or worse, Twilight made me feel good. And then that movie made me feel similarly. The other movies weren't as good.
I just have to talk about how in like the Twilight movies, I was really distressed because, or not in the Twilight movies, as I'm reading Midnight Sun, I've been really distressed because like I keep, any time that like Edward is really dramatic in the book, I just see Robert Pattinson's face like,
oh my gosh.
But
Mallory said nothing will ever top the baseball scene in Twilight, and them's the facts. 1,000%.
That is valid.
The best scene ever. It makes no sense. We all know that it makes no sense. Why do vampires play baseball? Why do they have to play when there's a storm? I don't care. But that scene, the music, Alice's pitch, the whole thing is just cinematic masterpiece. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to get to that part in Midnight Sun. But I haven't gotten to that part yet. No spoilers. We cannot talk Midnight Sun on this live.
We cannot. Jennifer Nairhood says, I'm sorry if I'm like butchering your name. I'm super, obviously I'm bad at names. They say, I feel like Hunger Games did a great job translating to movie.
Yeah.
I thought they did good with the first one. And then I felt like they didn't do great in the following movies.
I enjoyed all of the movies, though. Like, if you're asking, like, which movie did the best job of recreating the book, because, like, you never fully can do that. But overall, I just really enjoyed the Hunger Games movies as movies themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done better at, like, getting some of the nuances and stuff. And I
feel like they could have done better at getting more POC characters that were POC and then were suddenly not in the movie. That also bugged me a lot.
Well, but we at least got Rue, if, you know, because a lot of people whitewashed her in their head when they were reading the book. I don't know. Somebody said they lost the stream.
Yeah, I'm still seeing it on my phone, so I hope that everything is still kosher. I know that we do have a train going by, and in Idaho terms, that is...
Hold for train. Holding for train.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Except for Ethan has better internet connection than I do, like, a lot better, and I'm also using his laptop and his technology. The only thing that is mine that is elite is my microphone.
Yes, which we got specifically. Sorry, my mic's over on the other side.
Oh, great. Yeah. I'll love editing that later. All of your screaming and...
Hi, future Bronwyn.
Hello.
Have fun editing.
This is a free podcast episode. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody else commenting at the moment. Did anybody... Oh, here we go. If you could live in any book universe... Ooh. I live in so many book universes that are, like, really effed up and are, like, really dark and scary. You go first, Allie, if you can think of it,
You know, like, and I feel bad saying it, but, like, having been to Universal Studios and actually gone, like, having gone to... This, like, gnat keeps coming back every time I answer a question.
Oh, I know mine, actually.
You know, I really think that it would be amazing to live in the Harry Potter world. And that's one that, you know, to go to Honeydukes and having been to Universal Studios and hung out the whole day in Diagon Alley. I was like, oh my gosh, did you see it land on my face? That's horrendous. No. That's terrifying.
He's going to commit hate crimes.
But then also, I mean, technically it's a book series because there are Star Wars books. I would totally live in the Star Wars universe. And so I'm going to take a bit of a cop out with that one because I know that you meant books, but I would live in the Star Wars universe. Galactic War and all, I would live in Star Wars in a second.
I would probably live in the Chronicles of Narnia universe. Mm-hmm. It's really, I mean, I know that it's kind of a more dangerous place to live, but I would love to.
But didn't they
die?
Like, they were in heaven, weren't they? Spoiler alert. They were dead, right?
I chose to completely ignore the biblical aspects.
Dude, we missed the obvious answer. What? Of course, we would live in the Golden Compass world so that we could have demons.
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
No, I want a demon absolutely so not. Bad. I want like a tiny creature.
That's like my companion. The Golden Compass universe, the angels were evil.
I don't even care. Absolutely I want not. A tiny little like tree absolutely weasel not. To be the external representation of my soul and that I can talk to and follow me around. Or or I could be a super BA and have a giant snow leopard as my demon. Or
you don't get to pick your demon. You would probably have like a little bitty chihuahua. Like,
well,
you would have
I
a
believe
little,
when I did the survey, I got something like really dumb, like a little. Oh, dormouse
was it a BuzzFeed quiz? Which demon would you get?
It was like way back when the movie was coming out. But
I do think that it would be super awesome to have. Somebody says that's not pronounced daemon. No, it's demon. Yeah. It was technically their demon. And mm-hmm. I do think that it would be cool. And like the fact that they can talk to you and they can send messages.
Yeah.
I just like that whole world like really stressed me out with the fact that like you
there
look and like there's dust all around.
Authoritarian.
Same thing with like the Chronicles of Narnia and with the Golden Compass. Like I just 100% chose to ignore any biblical like aspects of those books. I was like, people were like, well, this book is about the Bible. And I was like, it absolutely is not. It's about a talking lion. Get out of here.
Agreed. No. And because I felt the same way, like when everyone was being super critical of the Golden Compass and I'm like, it's about some like living imaginary friends that are animals. Yeah. And then they go into different worlds. It's magic. And I'm like,
Allie
why is everyone reading so much
Allie into and
it?
I both had to have, like, a full, like, phone conversation about Golden Compass and trying to figure out
like,
why
I'm
it was problematic.
Confused. I know, and I'm sorry had a whole if I missed it. And I'm like, I just, like, that went over my head and they were like... There was just some, and I don't know. But anyway.
I do think, like, I would say it would be really cool to have demons. I just, like, that world was so sketchy to me. And I, like, all the experiments that they were doing on kids and, like, whenever they would talk about, like, severing your demons, it would make me, like, it would make me nauseous because of the way that they described them.
Yeah.
So it just, like.
Well, and I mean, like, I wouldn't want to exist in the world, like, when they were in the middle of that book. Like, I just want to have a demon. You know what I mean? Like, I want to exist in this world, but I want a magic wand. You know
crawling
what I mean?
Crawling in my skin. You want to have demons? The demons inside you.
Yeah. And then I also saw a comment from Mallory. I'm so sad. I was supposed to go to Galaxy's Edge for my birthday this year. Actually, Jennifer... in the chat, we were all supposed to go to Florida and we were going to go to Galaxy's Edge together for my birthday. And I'm like devastated that I can't go. I cannot wait. So I'm glad to hear that it's super immersive because that's everything I hope it to be. So do you like my
cup? Definitely don't go anywhere.
Not
what
wise
does it say?
It says it's not wise to upset a Wookiee. My sister-in-law made it for me.
But yes, definitely don't go to Harry Potter Land when you go there. Go to Galaxy's Edge. And in fact, Allie, when you go, you have to visit the place where in the book that you had me read. And you have to send me pictures of the outpost.
Oh, yeah. Because I made Bronwyn read a Star Wars book and she actually liked it. And all of Galaxy's Edge is Black Spire Outpost. So that entire novel is basically a advertisement for it. But it's, I don't even
I just
care.
Was really excited that it was, like, that all of these books were canon. Like, I just thought that was really neat. Mm-hmm. Like, that these independent authors are writing Star Wars books and they're canon. Yeah. It's like canon fan fiction. Like, that is so cool.
Well, and Zoraida really Cordova is just a queen. I absolutely love her. Another amazing author. She's probably in my top five, too. I love Zoraida Cordova.
Well, so I'm wondering if we should wrap it up. I'll give everybody,
I don't see any new
like
questions. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give everybody like a minute if they want to come up with any new questions. And I think it probably be wise to figure out. Do you have to pee?
No, I'm just like, I just have like, I can't sit still. This is why, this is how much I move around when we're recording our podcast as well. And you can probably hear my fidgeting, but just nobody ever. It's just normally all audio. They don't see me doing it.
Well, this is why we have to take breaks, but I do have to pee, so.
Thanks for announcing. It was great.
Yeah. But, we will go ahead. I will take all of these names of people who were commenting and lurking. Mm-hmm. Now is your final chance to comment if you haven't already, if you've just been lurking and watching the stream. Comment so that you can win the free book giveaway, and then Sandemonium Sev will message you and get your information on how to get the... Oh, also, this will also come with an official Trading Pages bookmark so that you can mark your place in your book unless you read it all the way through.
Yeah. But,
so now is your last chance to comment if you would like to win that book, and then Sev will be messaging you afterwards to let you know. And probably that'll happen a little bit later, like maybe a couple hours from now when we try and figure our stuff out. So, but thank you, everybody, for showing up. I thought this was a lot of fun. I'm really happy with the turnout.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for coming. This is my first time doing anything like this, so this was really fun to do this.
So, I'm going to go ahead and plug Sandemonium really quick. I did our plug for Trading Pages and Pants Pending, but our plug for Sandemonium, if you can, none of the panelists, none of the board members, none of us are getting paid for this. We're doing this because we love to do it. And so if you have a chance to donate, 7b.com/donate, please do that if you have the ability to. No pressure if you don't, because there's a reason why we made this whole convention free. But it absolutely will help us out if you are able to do that. Please, today is the this is the last event of today, but you can still check out all of the events that are happening next weekend and the weekend after that. And the weekend after that, you can submit your game competition scores next week. Please check out our events. Mark yourself as going or interested if you plan on going. Share this video after it is posted to get it more view, or after it, because it'll be available afterwards. So be sure and share it. Share the events, any events that you're interested, like, comment. All of those things immensely, immensely help us with getting the word of Sandemonium out there. So I saw that a whole bunch of you guys were already sharing the stream as it was going on. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And join us next week where we will be doing, I can't remember the schedule off the top of my head because I've seen it like 30 times today, but we will have more panels, more live stream panels going on next week. And if you're unable to attend any of the live panels next week, you can watch the videos after they are posted. So thank you so much. And I will give the secret signal to my boy Ethan, who I think is still listening, to end the live stream. So thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. I don't know when we're not live anymore.
I'm just going to keep smiling.